Hello everybody and welcome back to episode 2 of Empowered by Grace. My name is Moses and I'm here with
Sarah.
And you're watching a podcast where we talk everything Christ related, share testimonies and guidance on how you can live a godly life. If you have watched episode 1, you've obviously seen that we talked about our testimonies and what faith is, and we got a lot of positive feedback.
Like, yep, we did.
Everybody like around the school, like outside of school, have came to us talking about how it's changed their perspective on life, how they managed to gain a happy experience and gain more information on who Christ is and all that stuff. And we got some, I did ask you guys to fill in some questions, and we've got a lot of questions, but we picked 5 that were really interesting, and obviously we've got each of us answers for each question, I hope.
Anyway. Yeah.
So obviously we'll start with the first question from Georgia. How can I strengthen my faith? I think you can answer this one, because this is probably something that we've answered already in episode 1. So you want to answer that one?
So I think... how can I strengthen my faith? Consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. Maintaining.
Yes.
In prayer daily. It can be anything, but just staying in prayer.
Love.
I think something that's very important, and as Christians, sometimes we may not want to seek, but seeking accountability.
Accountability.
We're here for a reason. Like, we're a community, and you're supposed to be asking for help and asking for support. If you don't know something, ask. If you want prayer, ask. We're not going to say no. And this doesn't apply to just Christians. Like, it can apply to anyone. Ask for accountability. And not being scared that we're all here for each other.
Yeah, I just want to add, if you know that you've done something wrong, if you know that you may be involved in something, you can't just say, you can't just blame everyone else. You have to take accountability, and just, it's your responsibility. I remember a friend of mine talked about responsibility and how you need to take responsibility for yourself and not anyone else, because obviously at the end of the day, no one's really going to help you besides God, obviously, to do the stuff that you need to do. And to be a responsible person, you need to be reliable, you need to have teamwork, you need to collab with a lot of people. And with those stuff, if you're not reliable to other people, if they ask you to do something and you don't do it, that's a responsibility taken up on you. So if you don't do that, then how can you be a reliable person and therefore be responsible? Same with collaboration. If you're just there being by yourself or confound with yourself, then you're not being responsible by going around with other people, maybe finding other people with the same interests and hobbies as you. You're not being responsible by doing that. So obviously responsibility and accountability is an important thing as a Christian, and we need to take accountability on ourselves to make sure that we ensure that to ourselves and other people as well.
I think another thing is that remembering that God has already won. Like, it's already written. God's already won. And remembering that, I think, helps us to strengthen our faith, because we have to remember that if God's told us that he's already won, what have we got to lose?
Exactly.
Just,
he's already won.
It
was already. I remember Messiah's Melody, if you haven't listened to the song, I did mention that God has already won the battle. So we can just sit back and obviously not relax too much, but like, we don't have to do all the work because he's already done it for us. I'm going to move on to the next question by TP Shadow. How did you find God?
Do you want to start that?
Yeah, if you haven't watched episode 1, I'm going to summarize my experience in a nutshell that I did explain in the last episode. Basically, how I found God, obviously there's many ways I found God, but the one I explained in the podcast where I was feeling down because something happened in school, and then a friend invited me to their own church, where I was kind of doubtful and I was like unsure if I wanted to go, and then I heard many of my friends were going, so I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. At the same time, I was talking to Ketia about this church thing. She already knew about this and she encouraged me to go as well, but she didn't go because she had other stuff to do. So I went to that church. It's the one in Walker. I forgot, it's the Christian Church Center. I forgot the name, but it doesn't matter. But I went to the church. I got there late, obviously. But yeah, I got to the church and saw drama, saw dancing, saw a lot of fun games. And then we got to songs and worship. When it came to this song called Gyro by Elevation Worship, I think. I really liked the song because I've never heard the song before. And that got me into deep prayer. And then a pastor came and spoke tongues for us. Again, I explained what tongues is in episode one, but I'll explain it again.
Go watch it, guys.
It's this heavenly language that the Holy Spirit uses to intercede for you, to intercede your prayers to God. If you have little words to say or you have too much words to say, it's either that or it's like a known language that is able to interpret, pretty much. So basically a known language that other people can interpret, so they can tell you the meaning of what you're saying in that dialect tongue. And the tongue I'm referring to is the heavenly language one, where I spoke it for the first time in the last 15 seconds when everyone was closing up their prayers, and then obviously I felt God in my heart, and other stuff happened as well, where I realized there was more to life than just messing around, not taking it seriously, and decided, yeah, I'll take it more seriously. So that's my part, and then your part was with the ankle miracle, where your ankle got healed and that. And obviously there was more stuff that you said in the podcast, but mm-hmm. I'll let you explain.
I think that I might have answered the question a bit different, like what I did to find God. Obviously, I found God through my mom. I grew up as a Christian, even though I didn't call myself a Christian. I grew up as a Christian. But how I found God is by seeking Him. Because I saw people feeling so much peace and showing so much kindness and so much grace through things that I would see. And I would be like, how? So I began to seek Him. I began to read my Bible. I began to go to church willingly, not because I was forced to go to church, and then kept asking the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to me and things like that. Yeah, I think that's what, and prayer, like, again, oh my gosh, prayer is such an important part about being a Christian. It's so, so, so important. And even if you're not a Christian, sometimes, like, even if you're doing an exam and you're like, God, please help me pass this exam. That's prayer. And
she's not wrong. They're not wrong.
We can pray without even realizing it. That's how I found God.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. And about prayer, it's too cold. It's too cold of an arsenal that you can't use. Like, any day you wake up, pray. You go to sleep, pray. You eat, pray. You go to the toilet, pray. Like, literally anything that you're doing, just talk to God, like,
pray
constantly. Like, it doesn't, like, and the thing about prayer, it doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to come and use, like, this sophisticated language.
Just to talk
to God. It can literally be like, yo, God, please help me with this. Obviously.
It is like that.
Literally, I can just pray for my friend, yo, I thank you for my bridge and I thank you for my broskies. God, please protect them. That's it. It generally doesn't have to be planned out, it doesn't have to be written, and it can just be anything you want, as long as you come to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just speak to Him. Honestly, like, He's your best friend. All He wants to do is hear you. He just wants to talk to you, exactly. He wants to hear you. So say whatever you want to say, as if He was someone standing right in front of you.
Speak what's in your mind. Like, exactly. Anything in your mind, just say it. Just say it. If you have nothing, just the Holy Spirit will come to you, intercede for you, and you say it how it is. Right. Third question from the CMW Youth. Obviously, that's the church that I go to. I'm a part of that youth. They want to ask, in what ways do you see the presence of God or spirituality in the world around you? That's a tricky question. In what ways do we see the presence of God or spirituality around us?
I can start if you want.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
I think that... okay, that is a very good question.
That's a very good question.
But definitely through, like, acts of kindness and just people being so generous and kind to one another. But also, like, even just the beauty outside, like, the nature that you look outside and you're like, everything is so beautiful.
Yes.
And it just makes me think, like, the presence of God is just everywhere. Mm. Absolutely everywhere. Another thing is how detailed and intricate things are.
Mm.
Like, if you look at a leaf outside and you look at, like, every little part of the leaf, like, it's so perfectly designed.
Cosmological effect. I'm sorry. Every little thing has a cause. The universe, people thought that the universe was, like, immortal until scientists proved it. Like, even the universe was, like, so perfectly designed. Any speck. Let me tell you something. Like, have you ever wondered, like, people going to, like, NASA, people going to space, they have to make sure everything is perfect. Like, there's nothing can go wrong. Because, like, even the littlest thing that goes wrong can kill someone.
Yeah.
The littlest thing. Why would they need to do that if they know that everything needed to be perfect? Like, why do they need to do that? That's how you know. Like, that's just one out of many evidence that everything is perfectly designed, and that's because there's one cause, and that's the creator, which is God.
Yeah.
You may not believe it's Jehovah, you may not believe it's Yahweh, but at least you can agree there is a creator out there, because obviously nothing can't come from, nothing can't just turn to everything, it makes no sense. And pretty much, we couldn't have designed this, because the universe was here before us, so.
And it's crazy, because like, God knows, when I say like intricate things, like God knows how many hairs are on our head.
Yes.
Like, isn't that mental?
Yeah. Even if you're bald, he knows. Even if you're bald. Like, literally, if you have no hair, long hair, short hair, he knows how many hairs on your head. It's crazy. Like,
yeah.
Very much.
Okay.
Fourth question from Ash. What made you think of doing a podcast? And we did explain this on the previous episode. We pretty much did this podcast simply just to spread the word of God.
Yeah.
Like I said before, we don't gatekeep anything that has to do with Jesus. Facts. We literally will not gatekeep. Like, if you have any questions, I know I get asked a lot of questions about God in school or wherever I am. If you have any questions relating to Christianity or relating to God or Jesus, I'll try my best to answer as best as I can.
We're not going to know the answer to every single question, because we're learning as we go. But honestly, don't hesitate to comment anything or to message us anything on our Instagram.
Because like, it's really important that you guys learn as well, because obviously we're learning together, like we learn daily. Even if we're the smartest human beings on earth, we're still learning. Maybe not academically, but definitely like in like the sense where we're like human beings. Again, nobody is perfect in this world, and we will never be perfect. And it's very important that we learn that we can help each other and help each other grow, pretty much. If you don't know how to grow yourself, people around you can help you. Your family, your friends, your teachers, your community, they can help you grow. If you're not sure, just ask, and we can help you as best as we can. And that's pretty much why we made this podcast, to be that vessel of people's support, if that makes sense. We want to make this a safe space for people to ask questions, grow spiritually, grow in like any sense that they can. And
we're just excited to get started. Yeah. That's just it. I think that the more we grow in our faith, the desire to share the word of God just gets so much stronger, stronger. And we've watched a lot of podcasts. Like, I know I have. I'm pretty sure you have as well. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh, that would be pretty sick to start a podcast. Like, but it not just like creating a podcast, but like being able to tell people about Jesus and how much Jesus loves you.
Amen.
I was like, you know what? Like, when I was at school, I thought about this a long time ago. Ooh. I was like, and I told Moses, like, Moses, like, do you wanna start a podcast?
I was like, I never thought of doing a podcast on my own, or like hosting a or co-hosting even a podcast. And then that thought just stuck in my mind for like so long, and I was like, you know what? Let's get it done. Let's actually get it done. Like, generally, this needs to be done. So I did come to you about it. I was like, yeah, I'm happy to do it. And then
there was a lot of prayer involved in that, ensuring that God wants us to do this, and we're not just doing it
for the sake of doing it.
He helped us put everything together. He's put people in our lives who've helped us like get this equipment. Like, this is some sick equipment that we've got, thanks to
equipment. Thanks to the school. I want to thank the school for like allowing us to borrow some of the equipment here, and especially to take it outside of school property, outside of school like entrance, the school building. It's amazing. Like, the school's really helped us like build this podcast, and I thank the school that they've allowed us to project our faith onto other people as well. Because obviously, I know other schools may not have that access to do that, but obviously our school's like a good school. It may not be the best school, like people's opinions, but it really is a good school. If let's say we stop this, other people can continue the legacy of like just sharing the message with like to other people about God. Like, it shouldn't just be us doing this part. It should be like other people like spreading the message, and that's all I want. That's all I want. If I can get at least 5 people to like spread the message around school about how good our God is, that's literally all I'm asking.
It's gonna create a domino effect, because then they're gonna tell someone else, and that person's gonna tell someone else, and more people hearing about the word of God,
and it creates a spiral. Like, literally, it'll just spread too much. Anyways, last question from Ollie. If you could pick three words to describe your walk with God so far, what would they be? Oh, three words. Challenging.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Challenging. I think challenging is definitely one word, because obviously it's not going to be like just a smooth road. Yeah. It's definitely going to be obstacle courses and bumpy roads. And obviously there's going to be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if you just follow God and trust that He's got the right path for you, He's going to sort it for you. He's going to sort it for you. Another word, though, I can only think of challenging. Challenging. Oh, this is going to be harder. Challenging. This is hard. You know?
I've got my three. I can say them.
Yeah, you say your three. Say your three.
I think my three, one of them was growth.
Oh, yeah, growth.
My journey with God has fluctuated. There's been, I've learned loads of things from other people, from podcasts, from reading the Bible and everything. Mm. So, yeah, growth is one of them. Mm. Similar to yours, I put battle, because it's a spiritual battle, not only with yourself, but with your flesh as well. Because there are moments where I don't want to read my Bible. Like, we're all about honesty here. Yeah. There's moments where I don't want to read my Bible.
Or I just don't bother to pray.
Yeah. But why do we do it? Because of the desire that we have for God, and the desire that we truly want to walk with Him and be like Him. So yeah, I put battle, because it's hard. It's hard being a Christian. Mm. It's really, really hard.
Very hard.
But, you know, the outcome of that is salvation. And we're so privileged to even know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Like, we're so privileged to be able to feel His Holy Spirit and read His Word and all of that. So yeah, I think growth, battle, and definitely peace. Because although we struggle through things, God gives us so much peace within those struggles and those trials and those temptations. And He continues to do that. If I've got a test next week, I've revised for it. God, please help me. Give me some composure. He gives me that composure, and I'm going to trust in Him that He's going to help me with my memory or whatever it is. Mm. But yeah. Growth, battle, and peace. Those are my three words.
Right, so I've got challenging, I've got success, and I've got victory. Because challenging, obviously, is bumpy roads. It's not going to be easy. Success, because obviously, at the end of the day, I know I'm going to succeed. And victory, because God has won the battle. Like, literally, I remember Jemima when she was like leading people to the prayer. She said, I'm a victor, I'm a winner. Literally, it reminds me, victory has been made. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's why I like to say victory, because when I hear the word victory, it reminds me, oh yeah, God's done it. He's done it.
That's all because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. So
That's pretty much all the questions that we've been asked. And obviously there was more, but we had to get in five just so it doesn't pre-long. But this episode, we're going to be talking about sin and repentance. And pretty much I've got in my notes what sin is, the origins of sin, why we do sin, the concepts, and what repentance is, and how we can make sure that we do get into repentance. I repent for what we've done wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start off with what sin is. You probably heard this word everywhere, like
in school,
like literally at school, like pretty much every. You can't say that you've never went through sin before, because everyone has. Like literally everyone has been through some sort of sin before. I don't know what it is, but you know you've done wrong in your life before, and we're gonna explain it right now. So pretty much sin is missing the mark. And what I mean is you missed the mark, you've backtracked, you've disobeyed God in some way or some shape or some form. And it's like this disobedience or violation of God's law and what He's told you or what He's put you out to be, and you've pretty much missed the mark. It's like, for example, let's say you're in a basketball team and you're practicing. You're dribbling, but you're practicing how like to shoot accurately. Let's say you shoot and you miss the hoop. That's the same as missing the mark. So let's say you miss the hoop, you try again, and you keep missing the hoop. That's pretty much what sin is. You're missing the mark, but obviously, it, just because you've sinned one time doesn't mean, oh yeah, oh that's it for me. It's over for me. It's wraps for me. I'm not gonna be a good person. No, because we learn from our mistakes. We learn from sin, but we just don't want to be a part of sin anymore, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by this is, let's say you've done sin, you repent. Oh yeah, I'm going to change my ways, because that's what repentance is. you try your best not to make the same mistake twice. Because if you make it twice, that means your repentance is not really as sincere as you thought it was. And I did pick up a Bible verse from, just to explain the natures of sin, which is 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 through 10. Do you mind reading the whole scripture?
Yeah, sure.
I've literally analyzed this verse. This is like one of my Bible studies that I did, and literally I've got a lot of things to say.
It's good. So 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 to 10, it says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, but all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteousness, even as Christ is righteousness. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who have been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who children of God are and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live in righteously and does not love other believers do not belong to God.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sarah. Right, so pretty much I've analyzed this verse. I was just pretty much meditating on his word. So this is what I wrote down. So verse 4 establishes a clear definition of sin as lawlessness and an act against God's divine law. It sets the stages for John's discourse on righteousness and sin. It pretty much defines what sin is. Pretty much it tells you what sin is, like literally the first you read verse 4, and how it can destroy you if you're not careful with controlling how you act behave around sin. Because you cannot be associated with sin, because obviously if you're associated with sin, then you spiritually are breaking down, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Verse 5 through 6 highlights the purpose of Christ's coming, and that is to take away sin. So obviously when Jesus came and paid the price by dying on the cross, even though he did not want to, but it was in God's will and not his. He was a sinless man. Jesus literally was a sinless man. He had no sin. And in the Bible, when they were trying to throw stones at a woman, he would say, anyone who has not sinned can throw the first stone. And no one did, because they've sinned. Jesus, if he wanted to, could throw the stone because he didn't sin. But obviously, he chose not to set an example that we have all sinned, so we cannot judge. And because he was a sinless man, he was perfectly equipped and chosen to take everyone else's sins and die on the cross for us. So then we could be set free from the devil's grasp.
And that is
what verse 5 and 6 talks about. Verse 7 emphasizes the righteousness as a characteristic of those born of God. The transformative impact of Christ's word is seen in believers who strive to live in accordance with God's will. Obviously, we strive. We are hungry. When I say hungry, we want to devour. The fact that we want to like be like Christ. That's why Christians, Christ-like. That's literally what it means. We are so hungry to be like Christ. Like anything we do wrong, we are eager to be like, yo, God, I'm sorry. And I'm pretty sure we can speak for both of us. Like there's been times where we thought, we're not going to get back from this. There's no coming back from this. I can speak for both of us. But obviously, you've got to remember, you have to have that drive to be with God and be so connected.
It's your
choice,
yeah. And God doesn't... And if you do sin and you come to God once again, and or you limit yourself, because this has happened to me before, if you limit yourself to coming towards Christ and surrendering to him because you keep on sinning, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. The enemy is telling you, no, you don't deserve to go to him and to repent. No, you do. God is telling you, come before me, surrender, and I will forgive you. You are forgiven. You also have to forgive others in order for you to be forgiven. But yeah, I think that's really important. That's like very sin important. Is the contrary of God's law, and that, like that means the opposite of what God tells us to do. That's what sin is. But
very yeah, much, yeah. Right, I'll carry on. Verse 8-9, where in this Bible verse, it introduces the idea that those who habitually sin belong to the devil. So when what I mean by habitually, so you continue knowing that you've done wrong. Knowing that it is a sin, but you do it anyway. That's what I mean by when it's like habitually sinning. Like your habit, it's sinning, and you can't just live in sin. Like there's a difference between living in sin or just sinning. Because if you live in sin, you'll purposefully do it, and I think that's where iniquity comes from. Because like you knowing that it's wrong, but you decide to do it anyway. Yeah, that's you showing that. That's you telling God, yo. God, I know that this is wrong, but you know what? I don't care about you. I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm that guy. No, you're not that guy. No one is. He is him. I'm sorry. I had to break it to you. It's the truth, and I'm going to say the truth. Literally, you can't live in sin because that just shows that you don't want to be closer to God. Literally, that's how it is.
And we're not... Something else that I want to put out there is that we're not perfect. And exactly. We are going to sin. We are going to fall short.
Yeah, no,
but the most important thing is to come back to God and truly surrender to Him. And if you genuinely have that desire for God or want to have that desire for God, pray about it. And ask for forgiveness. And I promise you, you're forgiven. God forgets about it instantly when you come before Him. You say, God, I'm truly sorry for doing this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You are forgiven. You really are. And don't be scared to ever come before God because you think that He's going to judge you. I mean, ultimately, He will. But like...
Yeah. right, the final he's judgment. Not,
yeah, He doesn't... He Whatever's happened in the past, and if you want to get to know God, moving there forward... You will have that relationship with God if you put the effort. If you show Him that you do want to have that relationship with Him,
yeah. And then verse 10, it pretty much distinguishes the difference between being a child of God and being a child of the devil. Being a child of God means that you're willing to do the right thing, willing to make the right choices, willing to admit that you're wrong, take accountability of your mistakes, repent, change, and come back to God. And just come clean, come as you are. Don't just dress up as this masquerade and just be like, oh yeah, God, I'm sorry, I won't do this. Come clean. God is ready to cleanse you right then and there. And if you're willing to take that cleansing, you can be changed and you can become transformed into a different human being. I remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17, don't quote me, I think it's that verse. Behold, you have become a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That verse literally, I'm sorry. That verse literally, I remember in my Bible, I remember that verse too well because I remember I had that verse for 7 days. Remember, they was like, yo, I can become a new creation because He cleanses you, you're clean, you became a different person. The person that I am today isn't the person who I was yesterday or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, and I can say the same for Sorrow. The person she is today isn't the same person from 5 years ago. No, we're literally new creations and we continue to grow and become newer and newer. Yeah,
100%.
On the contrary, being a child of the devil means you're not ready to change, meaning that you're continually living in sin,
living in sin,
diving too deep into sin that you're too far gone, and that you're just there like, I don't want to change. And it's a choice. No one's forcing you to sin. No one's forcing you to change. It's your own choice. Choice. No one's telling you, oh, you have to change. You have to be a child of God. No one's telling you to do that. But it's your choice. And if you choose not to get right with God and just to continue living in that sin, knowing that it's wrong, then you'll never see improvements in your life, and God cannot come to you if you're not ready to come to Him, if that makes sense. And that's what verse 10 pretty much talks about.
Yeah, and so I put here, like, how do we overcome sin? And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out that you can endure. God is not going to allow that temptation to be more than you can stand.
Mm.
He knows you're able to overcome it if you seek him. If you say, God, I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. Because without you, I'm nothing, and I'm not going to be able to overcome this without your help.
Mm.
It's impossible to do that.
Yeah,
we're absolutely impossible. Nothing without him. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yep. And
niche.
This will help us like move on to like repentance.
Mm.
It's Acts 8:22 says, repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Very.
Repent.
Mm.
He's gonna get onto that.
Yeah, get onto that. Good. I want to talk about the concept of sin. This might get your brains thinking what I'm about to say. Because honestly, when I heard about this theology, this kind of way of thinking, this got me thinking as well. I'm not going to lie. So pretty much I wrote here, yeah, obviously we know that sin exists in the world. But let me ask you the question. Who created sin? I genuinely want you guys to think about that. Who do you think created sin? Because I've got the answer right here. And I'll tell you right now, I'll just give you a moment to think, because obviously that is a very important question. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact you've got multiple different answers. I know some people have this answer, this answer, this answer. But I'm going to tell you right now, here's the thing. Who created sin? People would have said God. God is not a sinner. So how can he create sin? God cannot create something that he is not. So mm-hmm. It wouldn't make sense for God to create sin. Some people may have said, humans, we created sin. Humans can't create anything. Like, we have no power to create anything. So how could we have created sin? Others will, I know the most popular answer was, the devil created sin. The devil 100% created sin. That's what he habituates. That's where nature comes from him. The devil can't create anything. Mm-hmm. Like, believe it or not. Like, here's the thing about the devil. The devil cannot create. He copies. Think about that. Because... Name one thing the devil has created.
Pain.
Pain.
Bad things. It's not even anything good.
Like, literally nothing. Like, you can't name one thing that the devil has created. He can't create anything, so therefore he has not created sin. So the answer is, sin is not a creation. Sin is not a creation, it's a condition. Notice how I said condition. Let's say you're sick. Let's say I wouldn't manifest that on anyone, by the way. But let's say you feel ill, you have to see a doctor. The fact that you think you're ill is a condition. It's not. And the fact that you say, this is why manifestation is really important, by the way. Let's say if you say, I'm sick, or I'm poor, that becomes reality.
Mm.
That genuinely becomes reality. That's why I said, that's why people, when they sin, it comes from their thought. That's why it's a condition and not a creation. The way that you sin, it comes from your thought. The minute you think about that sin, you're tempted to make it a reality. That's why you tend to sin when you think about it. And that's what I want to put in everyone's head, just so people can feel like, I never thought about it this way. Because generally, when I heard about this, I was like,
whoa.
I was like, yo, this is coming cold. And this is why God wants you to repent. He wants you to change. Because when it comes, the word repentance means to change. It doesn't mean to say sorry and be like, yo, God, I'm sorry, I'll move on from this. No, it means to change. Because notice how in the Bible it says even God repented. Why would God need to repent if he's done nothing wrong? It's because God has changed over time. And it does say that in Genesis. I'm not going to go into which verse or which chapter. It does say that in Genesis. God has changed. So do we. We change as human beings. And we repent, meaning that we do not go back to the sin that we've been freed from God. And we try to grow as human beings. Grow individually. Learn from it. Improve from it and succeed at the end, which is why one of my three words was success.
Mm-hmm. I think I was watching this video and this woman was talking about like repentance and how we can repent.
Mm.
And repentance is about sacrifice.
So always.
Jesus paid such a big sacrifice for something good to come out of it.
Mm.
So in order for us to... I can't think of the word.
No, it's fine.
to make something good
out of
what's happening or your sin, you need to sacrifice something. Mm. That can be, if you're not reading your Bible because you're on TikTok too much.
Yeah.
Delete TikTok. It's a sacrifice for some people.
Yeah.
I know it was a sacrifice for me like ages ago, like 2 years ago. I would spend hours and hours and hours and hours on it, and I wasn't reading my Bible. What did I have to do? Delete it. At that time, I was this is such a bad thing. Why am I deleting TikTok? Blah, blah, blah. What came out of it? Fruit. Good fruit. I learned things. I was able to... Not only was I learning biblical things, but I was also being more productive.
Yeah.
And being less lazy and not staying on my bed all day scrolling on TikTok. So, I think that repentance is it's about sacrifice.
Yeah.
Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice so that he could take away our sins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy. But we can for sure sacrifice things if we truly desire God.
Yeah. And when she's talking about fruit, by the way, guys, she's not talking about your apples, your pears, your bananas, your pineapples. She's talking about kindness, joy, peace, loyalty. That's grace. What we mean by fruit. Grace as well. That's what we mean by fruits, because obviously you can say, oh, I'm a Christian, but we can tell that you're a Christian from your fruits. That's what in the Bible it says, you know a person by their fruits, not just from the tree itself, but by their fruits. If their fruits are pure and if your fruits are fresh, that means you're calm, that means people know that you're a Christian. But if your fruits are poison, if your fruits are unedible, that means we know you're not about it. It's just simple as that. Like, I don't need to put it into more complicated words. That's why I remember, like I said in the previous episode, for 2 weeks I deleted TikTok and Twitter. And me coming to the realization that I didn't need Twitter in the first place, which is why I've not, till this day, I've not downloaded Twitter. And after 2 weeks, I downloaded TikTok and I'm realizing that I use it way less than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I say way less, like, the hours went significantly down. Like, it was so obvious that I was so addicted to TikTok.
Mm.
And that's what we talk about sacrifice. When you sacrifice things, you realize, you come to the realization that you really didn't need this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even my maths teacher said, you don't really need social media as a whole. Because what does social media benefit? What do you benefit from social media, realistically? Like,
the only thing that's good about social media is being able to share the word of God widely. But even then, there's people that are going to be angry that you're sharing the word of God.
Exactly.
But you know what? They hated Jesus.
Exactly. I was going to say that as well. Literally, remember, if they hated you, if the world hates you, remember, they hated me first. They hated Jesus first. So, like, I'm not even going to be mad that you're hitting on me because you hated the Lord first. Like, the word Jesus is so powerful. You name it in any... You just use that word in any type of conversation.
You'll see how many people start getting angry because they hear the name of Jesus.
Differently. Like,
but you know what? That just shows that we need to spread the word of God even more.
It does.
Because and the thing is, people are so curious to hear about the word of God, but they're afraid. They're scared that this spiritual things that are happening in Christianity, they're scared that the good things that people are getting out of it is going to be true, which it is true, but people are just so scared to find out about that.
Yeah.
But a way that we can show people that it's something good, yes, it's hard, but it's something good, is by the way we portray ourselves, by being like Christ. If I'm in school and I say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm gossiping about people, or I'm swearing, or I'm saying rude things about whatever.
Yeah.
Am I really portraying
someone
who believes in God?
It's questionable. People will start questioning it.
And they start getting the wrong idea of what a Christian is, or what someone whose faith, who has faith in God is. So
And I know I just want to say something for the atheists as well, because obviously when someone mentions God towards an atheist, they will start switching up. But I want to ask like the atheists this question. Let's say Christianity was the way to go. Let's say Jesus was the way to go, which he is. But let's say if he actually was the way to go, would you become Christian? And you know what I've realized? Some people, maybe people may say yes, but others will still say no. And that just shows it's not because you don't think it's true, it's because you don't want it to be true. There's a difference. Let's say there is evidence that there is a creator, but people don't know, people may not know which creator it is. Maybe it's not Yahweh, maybe it's Allah, maybe it's the Buddha, I don't know. But let's say you found the right religion, you still wouldn't want to become Christian or want to become Muslim, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's because you do not want it to be true. It's not the fact that, maybe I'm still indecisive. You've seen the evidence, you just don't want to believe it's true. You just don't want it to be true. And that's what people get mixed up. It's not because, I'm still deciding. It's just because, like, I just don't want it to be true. And it's really sad that people think that, because honestly, the way that they think is just so corrupt. It's really insane. Like, the devil can put thoughts inside your head without you even realizing it until it's too late. And if them thoughts are in your mind for too long, it can be too late. But it can, literally, the minute you realize it, will be too late for you.
That's why. Sorry, continue.
That's why it's really important that you get your mind right. You get your mind cleansed and correct. So that means if you think right, that means you can act right as well. Because thoughts influence actions. I have been saying it's a very common theme in what we do in our daily lives. Thoughts do become actions. That's why intrusive thoughts is a thing. Thoughts that you just say out loud, it is a thing, because it comes in our thoughts. You can't just act out without thinking. Like, I don't know how people do it, but it's just how it is.
Yeah. We have to stay equipped in the Word of God and ask God to equip us with knowledge and His wisdom and to give us grace with everything, because I can't stop saying this because it's true, because I want to make it so clear to everyone out there, Christianity is not easy, but it's so worth it. Christianity wasn't real, like, let's say it wasn't real. I believe in it so much, and I believe that it is true.
Me too.
But if it wasn't, I wouldn't even mind. Do you know why? Because of what I'm getting through it. Because of the peace that I'm getting through my struggles. Because even if I'm struggling so much, God has genuinely shown me that He loves me through people around me.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, very right. I just wanted to also say something as well. One of the big issues when it comes to sin that people may not comprehend is that people think that sin is your action when it's not. And let me explain why. Let's say, for example, a thief, let's say you already know the definition of a thief. A thief loves to steal, and stealing is a sin. Let's say eventually the thief will get arrested and he gets put in jail. Does that mean he's still sinning? It could be, because obviously he's not gonna steal anything in jail, because obviously if you put someone in jail, what they're gonna steal. So a thief who is gonna enjoy sin, I did write this down. Obviously, the thief at that point will stop stealing because there's nothing to steal. They're in a cage. But does that mean that their thoughts have changed? No, because let's say I'll just put you as an example. You could be put in the most confiscated area in a prison, like, where there's absolutely nothing that you could use, that you could take away from. But as long as your condition in your mind hasn't changed, you're technically still stealing.
Yeah.
I get that. The only difference is that you're not physically doing it.
Yeah.
Like, because realistically, if you think about it, let's say you've just been put in prison, you can't steal because you're in a cage. The minute you get released, who are we to say that you're not going to steal again?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think. There is a prophet that I did read it up called Prophet Lovi Elias. I'm pretty sure you haven't heard of him. I did look him up on YouTube. He explains this point really clearly, because as long as your condition hasn't changed, no matter where you are, you could still be sinning. Like, it's not because of you, just because you haven't done it, it doesn't mean that you can't think about it. That's where realistically temptation comes from, if that makes sense. And I personally struggled with this the most, because I used to think of a lot of dirty thoughts. Even though I know I wouldn't do it in real life, the fact that I still thought about it, it just comes to show that in the future I might end up doing it without me even realizing it. So that's why I decided, you know what, Lord, allow my mind to be clean, cleansed, and I'm still in that process of being cleansed. Obviously, we get cleansed daily. It's not just a one-time cleansing thing. You still have to get cleansed, because obviously thoughts will come in your mind. You have to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And yeah, just keep going strong. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think what you were saying about, like, not physically stealing, but your mind is still in that stealing position.
Yeah.
If that guy, that the thief is in jail, yes, he's not able to steal physically. But in his mind, he's like, okay, when I come out, I'm not going to get caught.
Mm.
I'm going to do it again, but I'm not going to get caught.
Exactly.
You have to remember that although physical people aren't watching you steal, God has the ultimate view.
Exactly.
He's still seeing what you're doing, and he knows your intentions and how you do things.
Exactly.
And if you don't learn from your consequences, are you really learning?
Exactly.
Are you doing anything?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that repentance is also, like, sinning and repentance is also about learning from your consequences. If you know that stealing can get you into jail, can get you into really bad places, why continue doing it? Learn from your mistakes, learn from your consequences. And yeah.
Right. I was just reading some of my notes here, right? Another thing that people find it hard to, like, comprehend is that sin, let me just say this. Hear that I say the word sin and not sins. Because sin is one thing. Like, you think, oh yeah, me swearing, doing foul languages, stealing, etc., etc., they're all sins. No, it's just one, it's one sin. All the things that I've said is a side effect. And as humans, we can't make ourselves pure. Yes, we can suppress sin. We can make sure that we sin less, or that we don't sin at all, pretty much, if we can. That'll be amazing. But it doesn't mean that we're pure, because obviously, why would we call Jesus our righteousness if we could fix ourselves?
Mm.
It makes no sense. So that's why we have God as our savior, and he can make us pure.
Yeah.
It can't be us. And another thing about that is, there's me, and there could be someone who does not do all of the stuff that I've done. There could be, like, let's say a monk sits there doing absolutely nothing, sitting there being peaceful, doing absolutely nothing. There's him and there's me. We're literally both human beings. He has less chance of doing anything that I'm going to be doing because he's doing nothing. Does that make him pure? No, it doesn't.
Mm.
It doesn't make me pure as well, but it just is how it is. Like, I don't even find it interesting that people think that, oh yeah, we're pure. If the less I sin, oh yeah, the more good I am, the more pure I am. That's not how it works, because there could be someone who's doing absolutely nothing right now, but it doesn't mean that they're pure. That's what we call on God, because yes, we can make sure that we don't sin, or we try not to sin, but it doesn't mean that we're pure, because we're not.
In the sense, it's kind of like the posture of your heart, and the way you do things and why you do things.
Mm.
Because if you truly have that desire for God, you're gonna want to stop sinning. Like, even if you feel like you can't stop sinning, you can stop sinning and overcome that with God's help. If you ask Him and if you seek Him continuously and say, God, I don't want to sin. I love you so much. Let me stop sinning. And that can happen. And I can't say I'm at that. I love Jesus, but I can't fully say I'm at that stage where I'm not sinning at all. Because like I said, like he said as well, we're human beings.
Exactly.
And our desire, it's so easy to sin. That's why people choose it, because of how easy it is to sin. It's easier to sin than to leave your phone for a whole entire week without doing anything.
Exactly.
I set that example because of me, because I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say an addict with my phone, but I use my phone a lot, and that stops me from reading my Bible at times. So which one do you want to do? Do you want to genuinely have a desire for God and go through tough times, but God will help you through that, or continue sinning?
I just want to put this analogy right here, right? I'm going to set my mic down. Right, so obviously you've got this paper with my notes in it. And let's say this paper represents someone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say for whatever reason I decide to break that heart, or I decide to do something to hurt them. So therefore, this paper is completely...
I've seen that analogy.
This paper is completely crushed. And let's say, I realize I did wrong. Oh, I say sorry. And I keep hurting them, I say sorry again. And eventually, I've said sorry so much times, they eventually forgive me, yada yada, we move on. But notice how the papers, notice how all this creases, all these, I'm pretty sure you can see here, all these creases, all the marks, even this tear here, it just shows that even with the amount of times we say sorry, as long, sorry is just not enough, pretty much, that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that analogy just shows that you saying sorry isn't enough, because sorry is just a word. Sorry is literally just a word. Anyone can say sorry. Like, it's not that hard to say sorry.
Actions speak louder than words.
Actions do speak louder than words. You have to show that you're sorry, not just to say you're sorry. You have to show it. And that's why when people say that, oh, I'm Christian, or I believe in God, or oh, I this and this, you have to show it with your actions. You can't just say it, because mm-hmm. they're just words. The devil, because like I said, the devil and his angels believe in God.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they can show it. It doesn't mean that you can't show it, because you can. You can show that you believe in God by your actions, which is why actions, words without actions, is dead. Mm-hmm. It literally just simple as that. It's really simple as that. And another thing I do want to say is that with that mark, people who do sin and don't feel any guilt or any sorrow about it, I just don't understand what is in their mind right now. Because honestly, anyone who does sin and realizes they're wrong want to like make it right. But people who just continue to sin anyway, it makes no sense, because like, why would you like want to continue? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure, obviously, it may not make sense now, but like, if you just think about it, why would you want to continue sinning if you know there's the, like a brighter path? It literally makes no sense. Obviously, if it was me, let's say I know I'm lost, I want to get found. Obviously, I'm gonna find even not the shortest path, the quickest. I'm gonna find, even if it takes me ages, I'm gonna find a path that gets me out of the darkness and into the light. I'm not gonna stay in one place.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes no sense, and that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Anything you wanna add?
No, I think you've pretty much said it all.
I've pretty much said it
all.
Yeah, you've basically said it all. Right, I'm gonna end it off here with one more thing, and that is repentance. I'm gonna list three ways you can repent, and obviously mm-hmm. to try and make sure that you do not make the same mistakes twice. Number one, write down the things that you've done this week. You listing down the things that you've done this week, put them into two categories, good or bad.
Be honest with yourself as
be
well.
Be honest. Let's say if all the bad things outnumber the things that you've done good, make sure that all the bad things you don't do again.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure the next week or the following week, there's more good things on the thing. And if you struggle with that, or you just have to pray. Number two, again, pray. Literally pray. Like, literally, if you want to repent, you have to pray and ask God to help you in seeking repentance. Because obviously, you can't just repent just like that, just change. Because obviously, I can't do that. You have to ask God for help and wisdom and mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit for knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
That's what God is there for. He's there to help you, guide you, support you, and all that. And number three is probably the most awkward one that you're probably going to hear from me. But I'm going to say it, everyone. Number three is simply, just be with God. I know it's awkward. I know it's very awkward to say. Literally, just be with God. And what I mean by that is when you're with God so much, literally, I'm sorry, you're probably going to feel the fire when I say this. You're going to want to be with, when I say be with God, you want to be with God so much that you don't want to sin anymore.
Mm.
That you don't want to sin anymore. Because what I mean by that, let's say you're without God, you probably sin more times. But when you're with God, you're with Him so much that you don't want to disappoint Him. You don't want to let Him down. You don't want to debunk Him. You don't want to level up with Him to the point where it's like, I don't want to sin anymore. Or you don't have that feeling or that temptation
mm-hmm.
to sin. And pretty much that's what number three is. And pretty much that's all I want to end with. I'm pretty sure, unless you don't want to have anything else to say. Then.
No, yeah, I think I just adding to that last point. Just seeking Him consistently, because ultimately, at the end of the day, God is the one that gets us through everything.
Mm.
And whether you think of it or not, just ask Him. Ask Him, and genuinely, if you have that desire for Him, He will reveal that to you. in His own timing. It's not your timing.
Yeah.
It's God's timing.
God's timing.
I'm praying that His will be done and not our own. And yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That is pretty much it for today's episode. Make sure you follow our Instagram, Empowered by Grace. Link will be down below. Also, I haven't forgotten, also make sure you follow Jess's and Barney's organization, Saved by Grace. Link will also be down below. If you have any questions or queries about what we've just talked about, leave it down, ask us, or leave it in the comments, or leave it wherever. And yeah, that's pretty much all we have from us. Just a reminder that God loves you and God wants to have a relationship with you. And if you're really unsure, just don't hesitate just to ask Him and just to pray to Him. Be like, God, please show me the ways of you. Please show me that you're there. Please show me that you're protecting me. And yeah, pretty much. And if you're really like unsure, if you're really like just there, like, I want to do it, but at the same time I don't want to do it, you have people who are more in faith with God than you are around you. You can ask them, they can give you advice, we can give you advice.
Yeah,
come to me, come to her, we can give you advice on how you can become better.
Don't hesitate to ask for help. Please don't hesitate. And if you want to get connected in a church and you live somewhere else, wherever you're watching this, message us on Instagram. We'll help you find a church. We'll help you get connected. Somewhere we can help you. We can even like message you once a week. Exactly. Anything, like genuinely, like we're going to try our hardest to help you guys to get connected with God, because He is so, so, so good. And we just want to remind you once again that He loves you. And we hope that you enjoyed today and this video.
Don't be stuck in your place because you've been listening to Empowered by Grace. God bless you all. I'll see you lovely people in a bit. Ciao.
Bye.